Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
I don't like you pooping on the entertainment value of the tush push.
I didn't say that. I like the entertainment value of the pulling and the. Players helping each other over the goal line. I think that's fun.
If you go out and you invest $50 million in a quarterback that can squat more than anybody that's not an offensive lineman.
No, I agree with ass. That. I agree with that.
Well, that's part of what you do, man.
Yeah.
I think he could be pretty successful in a quarterback sneak without having to have
agreed.
Two dudes behind him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could, possibly. Yeah, yeah.
Tom Brady was.
He possibly could.
Now, my thing is they can go for it on 3rd and 3. And do it.
Yeah. They really could. They really could.
I want them to do that so bad. I want them to take a first grinding. Down and just tush push it all the way through to see how many yards.
See, now they would definitely be in that thing after that. They'd be like, oh, all right, okay, we see what time it is.
Yeah, I need to see somebody else do it the way he does it, the way he and they do it before I decide it's.
I just hope they don't do it. I hope they don't change it. It might happen during your show.
Yeah, you draft and pay a. 250.
Yeah.
That can squat the house.
Yeah. I hope they change it.
Hey, man.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Of course he does.
You mean a hater.
Of course he does.
Well, real hater. Yeah. What am I saying?
What does of course he does mean?
Well, no, we know. You know.
Do you remember who played in the Super Bowl this past year?
Yeah, who played in the Super Bowl?
Listen, unlike Texans fans, some of you out there, right. I can attest that the tush push was not what got our asses kicked in that game, nor was it the one that they beat the Eagles in a couple of years ago. I just think it is so stupid to me on defense. On defense, when you stop a guy and you drive him back, do they get pushed back to the 7 yards you drove him back? No, it comes back to the line of scrimmage.
Of course.
But on the offensive side, if the offensive guys keep pushing.
Because you're still moving. You know the rules?
No. Well, how come they're still moving too backwards?
Yeah, but they stopped them.
Forward progress.
But then there's forward progress, too. The forward progress.
They don't possess the ball.
Yeah.
So
but the forward progress only continues because you continue.
Keep moving forward.
Because you continue to let.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it is stupid to me that other guys can come in and push ball carriers forward when their progress is stopped. But defensively,
assuming their progress is stopped.
There are stopped.
No, they're pushing them from behind. They're not stopped.
Well, yeah, that's not in their under their own power.
They're not.
I got you.
They wouldn't be.
But then you'd have to figure out where they were stopped. because they're getting pushed from behind.
But again, but that's what as soon as
okay, well, where did they stop?
Again, then let defensive players shove offensive players back until the whistle blows.
They can, and the ball goes in.
They do not. They
yes,
stop
they do,
it. And move
but
it
the
back
forward
up.
Progress is stopped.
The forward progress, yeah, they stop it. Then just stop it on
and
the
then
offensive
they keep
side of the
back.
Ball.
Here's my analogy. I know we're eating into your
boy.
Oh, well, first, I would like to say that you're listening to KLT, KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston,
to me, this
Austin Sports Station.
To me, this comes down to one thing. There's one team that is shooting 50% from 3-point range, and everybody else can't shoot more than 30, and they want to change the rule. That's what this is. One team is really good at it. They're shooting 50% from three. Everybody else is shooting less than 30, yeah. So let's change the rule. That's what this is.
I think Ron's issue is not even just with the tush push itself. It is with the idea of pushing offensive players, pushing or pulling it.
Here's
the deal. I mean, you can't just eliminate forward progress. There has to be some rule in place for offensive football to happen, right? I mean, for football to happen. There has to be some way to place the football. But here's the deal. If you're the defender and I'm the ball carrier and I hit you and you can't stop me, and we're going backwards, and you're going backwards, and I'm continuing to gain yard, what's going to happen?
I'm gonna feel real bad about myself.
No, but what are your teammates going to do?
They're going to come up here and try and stop it.
They're going to bang the hell out of me, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then what
do
they?
So offensively, my guys has got to stand around and let y'all just pound on my ass because, you know what I mean? Like that, it just there's no clear distinction
But the play stops. When they come up and hit you, and you stop, the play stops. On the other side, they get to just keep driving them on down the field
because they're not the ones.
When you are getting help,
but the
that's
play,
my, that's,
as long as they're still moving that's, forward, that's, the play has not stopped.
That's my
when
issue,
you
John.
Stop somebody, the play stops.
That's what
on the offensive side.
On the offensive side.
I know. But as long as he's moving forward by, you know, hook or crook, the play isn't stopped.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Is the crook is what he's talking about.
And I go back to my point. No need for the crook at that point. One team is shooting 50% from three, and you're mad about it.
And to me, it's not even just the Eagles. It's anything offensively. First off, offense gets everything in the game.
No, but what I'm
and
saying
to
is,
me, and to me, too, when you, as the ball carrier, are no longer moving on your own, I think it is BS that other people on the offense can move you to keep gaining yards. The play should be stopped when you have stopped moving, just like it is on the other side.
They're pushing him from the snap of the ball. You don't know when he got stopped. They're pushing him as the ball snapped.
John, you should not ever be able to push
because they're really good at
other.
It.
I'm just saying, anybody, you shouldn't. Like, that's, that is crazy to think, hey, man, here, you get the ball on offense, and we're going to get eight other guys to just push behind you, just keep pushing you. You've been stopped, but we're just going to keep pushing you. We'll go up. We watch all the time. The Eagles get up there. Bam. It is a stop right there, and then these two other big dudes behind him are pushing the guy who can squat 700 pounds or helping push him through. And it's not even just on the tush push. We see other times when offensive players have the ball on the field and then offensive line. You want to talk about safety? Offensive linemen on the full sprint. On the full sprint.
I'm just saying, but
offensive linemen on a full sprint coming and just nailing guys forward. It's silly. When you stop, you shouldn't be able to move forward with the help of others.
And I think you're just seeing it differently because I think as soon as the ball snapped, everybody's pushing. And you're saying they shouldn't even do that.
The ball carrier, no.
I'm saying, okay, like if he gets stopped when somebody's pushing him, how do you know when he's getting stopped?
What I am saying,
don't even do that.
I'm saying you should never be able to help push forward.
You can't push a pop.
Another offensive player.
And one team is really good at it. That's my bigger point.
I know that you're able to do it. I'm saying the reason why the rule is. I just don't think. To me, it is not a fair thing. That an offensive player can get pushed forward by other people. An offensive player can get pushed forward and continue to get yardage by an offensive player. And then, as I said, on the other side, if three defensive guys started to shove a guy back, they stop it. And you don't get the yards that you lost. You come right back to where
I don't see that at all. I mean, defensive tackles, they push piles so the linebacker can get in and make a tackle. Is that fair? Where do you draw the line on that?
Well, I don't even know. What I'm saying is
defensive tackles, you know, pushing each other to push the line of scrimmage to free linebackers, that's pushing a defensive player.
Yeah, but they don't know about it. These guys don't have the ball.
I understand
I'm talking
that.
About the person with the ball.
Yeah.
The person with the ball.
I think to attempt to make it simpler is that if the ball is to be advanced by a player, it needs to be under their own power. That is the stance that I think Ron Hughley is making.
Yes.
But you get to use three or four to stop me.
Yeah.
So all the defensive guys can hit the ball carrier, but the offensive guy's got to stand around and just let him see if he can. Because
I think tackling.
The protective.
But it's not. I mean, it's tackling is four on one. So I'm just going to stand around and let my guy just get smoked.
I think the protective part of that is that the whistle blows on forward progress.
What does it do on the second and the third? Are we just going to all stand around and watch it happen?
Let's use the other example. I'm a running back. I'm on the wing. It's third and goal from the five. And defensive players start hitting me. Offensive linemen come up and start trying to block the defensive players. Is that a flag because they also hit their own offensive player? You know what I mean?
You can't touch the offensive player.
Yeah. According to you, you can't do that. Like if you're trying to tackle me, and you're trying to tackle Clint, and he's trying to tackle Clint, and I come up and try to knock Reggie off the pile, but I also hit Clint, and I'm helping him. You know what I mean? What do you think?
If Clint is no longer, if you are pushing and assisting
But I'm
Clint,
trying to block you.
Sure. But that's not what they're doing, John. And you know
it.
No, but
it's exactly what they're doing.
No, they're not. John, stop it. You know they are not sitting there trying to block somebody else. They're trying to push Jalen Hurts forward.
Oh, I understand that. But how many times?
But you're bringing up other stuff that doesn't.
No, I'm not. We see it every Sunday. We see it every Sunday where there's a running back stop with defensive players coming on them. All these other linemen come up there and start pushing too. They're trying to get the defensive linemen off. But they're helping the running back.
No, they're trying to push the running back forward. They're not trying to get the defensive player off. They're trying to push the carrier forward.
No, you're taught to just knock those guys out so the running back can run some more. But you're hitting your own running back, too. Are you legislating that? You're taught as a lineman, get those guys off your running back.
John, they're coming up and shoving them forward.
No, I know what happens.
Even within that, once you
so
see...
So that play stopped.
There are so many... that we see it every Sunday. That these we see pals that stop, and then offensive players get to move
trying
it
to
forward,
knock
get
the other
to drive it forward
the
when the pal is stopped.
Yeah,
play should be over when the pal is stopped. You come up, you're no longer moving. Then some big ass 340 pounder comes up and starts shoving you forward. Yeah. Where did you start to move again? Well, your legs just start to get powerful again, or did that person behind you start pushing you forward?
Or is he trying to knock the guys off of you so you can move and continue to run because the whistle hasn't blown?
I think there is a real difference in, hey, I'm trying to block a guy and I accidentally hit the carrier, then, hey, I'm grabbing the ball carrier and I'm pushing him forward.
So that's probably trying to legislate it.
I imagine that's what the room sounds like in Minnesota. They're trying to decide whether or not
to disagree,
whether or not they'll ban the tush push. I'm sure the fellas will keep you abreast of that. But right now, the drive is live.
It is. The drive is live.
You already got that read in though, right? You already got that in a little earlier.
You got it.
Reg broke his mic. He wasn't even hardly involved.
He got it with 22 seconds left.
I'm always good raw dogging the drive.
Yeah, he raw dogged it right off the damn rod over off the stand over there, man.
Aaron, Andy, come fix the mic.
Never smoked a cigarette in my life, but I feel like I could use one right about now.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, man. There it is.
Oh, it's a hell of a start on a Tuesday. Let's get it.
The crosstalk right there, baby. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I don't think they're going to change it. I don't think they're gonna change it. Not yet.
He's got some juice to him.
Not yet.
Yeah. I think if they change it, it would be very, very difficult to apply. That's the fear. The way that the Green Bay Packers have written up the proposal of not assisting in any way, shape, or form, it would be impossible to officiate. I mean, offensive players would literally have to just allow their guy to get smoked over and over and over in any stalemate situation, which the referees are supposed to take that out of the picture and blow the whistle dead, but they don't do that at all times. But in order to apply what the Green Bay Packers are proposing, you literally anytime there's contact in any level of defender hanging on an offensive player, you would have to just step back and let it go.
I don't think that is the case. I think you can get in there and protect your guys. I just think the play stops.
Well, the play doesn't stop unless forward progress is blown dead, which is at the referee's discretion, right? So that's a whole different topic. The truth of the matter is the way the proposal is written is you cannot assist in any way, shape, or form a ball carrier. You can't push him from the back. You can't lock arms with him. You can't do any of that. And it's not just tush push specific.
No.
So that's to me, that's where the problem lies, is that it's got to be, it's not, one, it's not cut and dry. And two, it's like, how do you, I mean, they've done crazier things, right? They don't allow guys to get hit in the head, and somehow these DBs are in real time. Most of them are pretty good at avoiding it. You know, I guess maybe it could be done, but I just think it'd be.
But I think the point that you made before of, it should be put on the officials to blow.
Sure.
To blow the thing dead when offensive, like when progress happens. And I'll watch, and I don't know, it was a long, long time ago. Long, long time ago. In my high school years, as a defensive player, it eats me alive when I see, all right, this back is not moving anymore, especially at the goal line. You'll see the back's not moving anymore, and it almost will appear, and I'm talking any team you watch on Sunday, it will almost appear that the officials are waiting for the offensive players and the back to get into the end zone. It'd be 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Like, come on, guys, y'all got to blow it dead at some point. Until then, these offensive players are then shoving forward, trying to shove it in. It's not just, as you said, the tush push. That's the thing, is if they got a handle on blowing the whistle dead fairly on offense, because I'll tell you, that whistle on defense, you hit a guy and he goes backwards, that whistle comes out quick. Bam, hell, you can hit him again. The only time they'll send it back is if the receiver or the offensive player tries to run forward, and you tackle him further back. So I just, like, to me, it's wild.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they've tried controversial or difficult, you know, the high level of difficulty in terms of how it's officiated. The way I read it, it's not strictly about the tush push. It's about aiding a runner, and boy, that is a. That, to me, that's a slippery slope of asking offensive guys that aren't carrying the ball to not assist in any way, shape, or form in any kind of stalemate, any kind of pile up, anything. That would be hard for me to think that they would allow it.
Text line coming through. Completely agree with Ron here. He makes all the sense in the world. Lopez is being confidently incorrect as usual. Sumbon is a Super Bowl bitter. Lopez is right on this one. Ron is so condescending when he gets animated about something. Again, did you all only hear me animated? Only one in there animated? For that texter, the only one in there animated. My man there, like I say to my wife, am I here to argue with myself?
You do got away.
Oh, stop it! You sit here loud too.
No, it's not the volume. It's not the volume. What I thought John was going to get pissed when you said again, John. Well, you do that twice. Now it's going to get from loud to an argument.
Well, I'm sorry. It was just like you start bringing other things
conversation. My ears immediately perked. Like, again, John.
Clearly, it ain't about no other stuff. It's clearly about someone getting behind ball carriers and pushing them forward.
I think you got a technique.
The Chiefs lost by 40. I'm a great debater.
That is awesome.
Shout out.
I'm a master debater.
Shout out to old Jackie, my old debate.
Jackie.
But no, I just listen. It is the Chiefs lost. They were down 40-6. They got tush pushed on them 2 years ago in the Super Bowl by the Eagles, and they won it. This had anything to do with the Super Bowl. Hell, if I complain about the tush push, hell, it wasn't a tush push. It was the kicking their asses up front push. It was the Milton Williams push. It was the Josh Sweat push. They don't have nothing to do with that. It has been a thing for me from the jump, not just the tush push, but anything. Like, hey, man, these guys, I'm just going to keep shoving them forward. I'm going to just keep shoving them forward. Blow the damn whistle. His progress has stopped. Damn, I don't even know what we were going to talk
about. I think the Astros, I think.
Coming up. Another thing. I am hot and heavy today. Another thing. Somebody needs to stop blaming this. Somebody needs to stop blaming this person in Houston. We'll discuss that coming up.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Baseball's all about the games,
And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Khakis.
Walkout ratio is 19 to 4. Get out.
That ball hit to right. The ball's been carrying there all night. It's gone.
Do it.
Jake Myers, number 3 on the year. First batter to face Manuel Rodriguez. Hits one out to give the Astros a 4-3 lead.
Mammoth shot to right field. 338 feet.
There it is, Jake. Jake Myers going deep, continuing his season as he continues to hit over 300. And it is May 20th, folks. He's out there every day, hitting over 300.
Jake with the rake.
I do want to get to him. Some people here on the text line and on YouTube and Twitch. Glenn Robinson, pretty strong here. Show is already hangry from the diet.
That's good.
I'm full, man.
That's really good.
That was a solid.
That's solid, Glenn. I got to get it in for Glenn. That was nice. That was strong. Someone text in, you all should do that once a week. Ron versus John.
That's got a ring to it. Ron versus John.
Ron Hewley.
Show may have snuck out there for a second. In the midst of that. But listen, shout out to the Astros as they got a big dub. The bullpen came through huge again. Shout out to Colton Gordon.
Hell yeah,
hey,
man.
Look at that.
Round of applause.
Gordo. Big suit.
I mean, are you handing out peanuts after that?
It's all of them, though. If you're not on YouTube and Twitch watching, you're not getting the full. It's the weird clap.
It's the one solid clap after.
Yeah, but you're clapping like this, like this. Like, big suit.
No, that last one, you held it. You held it a lot longer. Like,
that was good.
Cracker Jack's coming out behind it.
I need a t-shirt.
I'm going to toss this.
Need a t-shirt.
Seriously, though, hell of a night by that
game. No, it did. Hey, he held it together. And then, of course, like, it started to leak a little bit on him, but then, you know, they went ahead and got him on out of there. But, no, big-time performances. He's... what, 5 innings scoreless, and then that's all you can take from him. You can take
it
that every
feels huge.
Press the button on that every day. But from what we saw yesterday, and that's just not yesterday, I think it's also big picture wise, Clint. And we enjoy the back and forth from folks on YouTube and Twitch. Those of you on the text line, you can be a part of the show from that 713-572-4610. Those of you on those who call in from time to time. But you know something I see all the time? And I mean, a good 10 times a week, I see this. Astros need to fire their hitting coach. They got to get rid of
it early this year, too.
You got to get rid of Alex Cintron.
That's the problem.
You got to. I don't know if they sound like that, but we can do it.
Imagine a couple of them do.
Fire Alex Cintron.
Get his real, ass out of here.
Some real common collective guys. You just got to get rid of him, man.
Well,
just got to let him go, man.
Hey, y'all know that? Y'all know that hitting coach?
Yeah, that one.
I think his name's Alex.
Alex.
I got to get rid of his ass.
I got to get ACF out of here.
I got to get rid of his ass.
I got to get him. And I think
that was a joint, by the way. Not Tyler's
helium
vape
or helium. Yeah. Listen, I just think that conversation is. I think it's silly and unfair to Alex Cintron. Because to me, I would propose this. If you would think of a hitting coach, the guys that he would probably have the most impact on, Clint, are younger guys.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, and when you think about who's struggling right now and who has struggled in the season, really the only young guy that's really fighting in is Yiner Diaz, and he's even come around. But Christian Walker, man, that joker's 35 years old, man. Alex Cintron ain't coming here changing his swing. All right, I know what we read about, you know, Alex Bregman in Boston, but that's not coming.
Boston.
Like, they're going to let Christian Walker, who has been a big-time hitter in this league, kind of do his thing. Altuve, who is really fighting it right now. He started off well, but he's fighting it right now. You don't want Alex Cintron to go over there and come changing his swing or come in here and do something. Like, let's chill, right? Yordan Alvarez, before he was hurt or whatever he is. By the way, folks, there's an update on him. You don't want to miss that.
I just tightened my cheeks.
But you don't want Alex Cintron ain't going to be the one you're reaching out to help from him. But let's start looking at the other guys. The guy who we just heard his highlight. Jake Myers on May 20th, the Bronze Glove winner.
Khakis.
He's hitting 300, 301, 370 on base, 426 slug. Man, that's not great, but for Jake, 300, every last one of you would have pushed the button. I mean, you would think that the hitting coach is more likely to have some impact on that. What about Jeremy Pena, who is playing at an all-star level, won Tyler and you all hopefully more money last night. He's hit 309, 362 on base, 455 slug, and has been this team's most consistent offensive player in his third season. DeZinzo, Cam Smith have been solid.
These nuts.
For first-year guys.
Got him.
Paredes, who's 26, coming over a new place. Even young, like he's been, you would think the guys that he would be most likely to work with, they're showing some promise. You can't be fired the hitting coach because Yordan is starting off slow. Fire the head coach because Christian Walker can't figure it out. To me, that one's got to calm down. The guys that you, like all the surrounding parts, Clint, you damn near can't push. You couldn't ask for more.
Maybe if you wanted to get real critical, like see Lamar Diaz, Ron. Like see Lamar Diaz. But that really,
Diaz is the
supporting cast that you're talking about, the others are without a doubt in any sport, any skill set, the younger developmental, you know, raw players are the ones that, especially at the pro level, there's still a little bit of development that can be done, and if you've got a staff or a group that will develop those guys, spend the time, then you've got money, and you're spot on. I mean, the young ones that need to develop are absolutely developing, are absolutely producing. Hell, at times they're carrying a team, and so I agree wholeheartedly with you, Ron. I got zero pushback whatsoever. I agree with you.
The offensive struggles on Alex Cintron is crazy. Kick Rocks from the YouTube and Twitch. I've never seen that on here. This seems like a straw man topic. Ron, you let one texter get you this riled up. This is something. I mean, you can call me a liar if you like. This is something that is up and down the text line multiple times a week. No less than 10 times a week, up and down the text line, fire the hitting coach. There have been calls we've taken where that has been included. Fire the hitting coach.
Cheryl just said the research. She verified. It's there a lot.
It was there early. I don't know the frequency. I'm going to trust Ron on that. It was there early. I know, and we weren't a couple weeks in of that everybody but Altuve struggling, and it was definitely.
It's just a lazy ass argument.
Well, especially when the Bregman stuff came in with the Red Sox. Oh,
yeah. All of a sudden, Bregman swinging the stick better instead of that old Bregman
slump. Look at Bregman got away from Alex Cintron.
It's just a lazy conclusion to reach when it comes to this debate.
Yeah, they've got to pick it up offensively. But really, you're staring down the guys who have the most on the back of the baseball card.
Yeah.
And those are the guys that if you're hiring a hitting coach, that's probably the guys that Alex Cintron, you would think, is probably given the least amount of conversation and input to. Because they know what the hell they're doing. So, I'm not making that up or... That is just, to me, something we need to chill out with. Like, Christian Walker needs to pick it up. The hell with that.
He might make an appearance on Best Bets around 5:45.
Man, he might. Can he make? Is he eligible for the third list? All right. No, that's. I mean, that's just Tyler for poor performance. Tyler will put you on the third list.
You're damn right.
In a heartbeat for poor performance, not generally, or for winning performance if it has anything to do with teams that he's rooting for.
Got high standards.
Coming up, Clint has made mention to this a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. I think it's time for us to dive in. Clint said a hidden improvement on this offense can deal with Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was a Pro Bowler last year. The hell does that mean? We'll discuss that coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Team Stroud under center. Handoff Mixon. Starts right, cuts left, 10, 5. Mixon still going. Takes out a defender and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Mixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Mixon with a grown man run. Get off me. What a run by Joe Mixon. I am a fan.
That damn Andre's underrated at times, man. Andre up there. Andre gives you one about 4 or 5 times a year.
He always gives you a good giggle.
And I just, I, like, and I, and the part is, I know he is holding himself from cussing. Like, when he told him to put them jerseys in the trunk, I know he wanted to add another word in there.
Put those uniforms back in the trunk!
At the end, right there. And you know the word. And you don't need to say it, Tyler. But that word, at the end, like that right there, that would have, I know he wanted to say it.
Wow!
He probably turned himself off to say it. That's underrated. But Clint, you've been talking about this, and I found it interesting because you said it in passing. We didn't have much time to kind of dive into it, and I want to have this conversation as well with the people. You can jump in and give your thoughts, Clint. You said, as you said, there are many different things that can just be improved a little bit on this offense that. All of those things just being improved a little bit can make this thing go a long way. And you said one way that's kind of hidden that people don't think about that this thing could improve is Joe Mixon and his usage compared to what it was last year, and it can be improved this year. And it's why, because Joe Mixon in 14 games, and he had some injuries, but in 14 games, Clint, is over 1,000 yards, 11 rushing touchdowns, 245 carries, 36 catches on 52 targets, 300-plus yards, and another receiving touchdown, and made his second Pro Bowl.
I love Joe Mixon.
What is it that you're looking at when you say there can be improvement with his usage from that?
Well, I think, one, he was on pace to have a career high in carries on a season. So that was heavy usage for him throughout his over his career. If he would have lasted 17 games, right? The 4.1 yard per average was really good. The production overall, if you're just looking at a box score, was really good. But if you watch the Texans, it seemed like everything he did was on the, not just physical, but on the super physical side of things. The runs that he did make, it seemed like a lot of them he made himself. A lot of times it seemed forced. There was running into heavy boxes. There was running into cut splits. There was subpar offensive line play, and it was just a admirable job by Joe Mixon. But Joe Mixon ain't lasting 2 more years of what we watched last year. So I mean, whether we want to look at just the sheer physicality, or you want to look at the lack of support that he had between the O-line and the consistent pass game to take the pressure off of him, to remove one of the helmets from the box, if you will. Literally, I don't remember what week it was, but I remember Bobby Slowick being pressed about Joe Mixon and why we don't see him being used in the pass game more. And by the way, when I say that, I don't mean screens, like running back screens. It's part of being a running back. I'm talking about out in formation, you know, catching slants, catching quick, you know, little quicks, or just running routes, because we were told when Joe Mixon came in that he could do those things, and we were looking forward to seeing those things. The OC literally chuckled, really in disgust, to be honest with you, with the thought of getting him involved in the pass game. And if I don't remember exactly how he said it, but to me, I walked away with thinking the workload that Joe Mixon was already carrying for this offense, there was no way that they could ask him to do more. If you just look at the box score, I think you say, Joe be all right. But if you look at how he accumulated those yards, if you look at how difficult it was, how physical it was, where he's at in his career, I think there is a lot of meat left on the Joe Mixon bone.
Did you get a feel that he was wearing down?
I think he admirably was all right. Because my problem with did he wear down or not has more to do with was the ankle fully healthy or not, right? Was he injured or was he wearing down? To me, watching him play, had he not injured the ankle, I feel like he would have absolutely worn down. He would have had, it would have been a miracle for him to stay healthy.
Yeah, if he played the 17.
Yes, the physical brand that he plays, he needs a Robin. He needs a Robin. He can be Batman. He can get the bulk of the carries. He needs a Robin to take 5 or 6 carries off his plate, maybe 9 or 10 carries off his plate. He is most efficient and most effective when he's used in the pass game. Again, moved around in formation. He can play faster, get him the ball. Like, how many times last year did he get touches in any way, shape, or form, and there was running room there or there was space for him to operate? Very rarely, right? So a lot of
there was certain games that – there were certain games where he had much more space.
Yeah.
Other ones he really had to work hard, and some of those yards would be like, one big hit that he got.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's double. I mean, it's there's two things here for me, Ron. I think he would be a lot better if you limited his carries. And I know he would be significantly better if you gave him some support, some help, whether that's the pass game relieving the pressure or that's an O-line that's moving the line of scrimmage, things to come a little bit simpler. And I believe you get the best version of Joe Mixon if you limit the carries, but you get him touches in the pass game. Now, he's never been a guy in his career, except for 1 year, he's always been a 2 to 3 catch a game guy, right? But there was 1 year in his career, I believe it was 2022, so a couple years ago, where, he was averaging over 4 catches a game before he got injured again. But that, to me, that's where Joe is going to help you. Instead of always being the battering ram, that he by nature is, lighten the load a bit with a number two running back and get him touches in the secondary or at linebacker level so that he can then apply the punishment versus everything being uphill.
That's to me where I can see his impact growing is, again, not knowing exactly what Nick Caley, are going to be, his like staple plays or whatever, things that he turns to. But in New England, the running backs in the passing game was a huge part of their offense, a huge part of check downs that they would go to a lot and take advantage with. If you remember guys like James White being there big time, Danny Woodhead, like those were big time parts to their offense. And again, not knowing, is this going to be the Patriots-style offense? Is it going to be the Sean McVay-style, a merging of the two? But that to me is the clear space where Joe Mixon could pick up more and maybe keeping him fresher, keeping him better if he's catching it and not having to run up against defensive linemen as much.
Well, he is just such a physical player that, I think when he gets up, he can do it. It's not that he can't do it. It's that you just need the freshest, most healthy version of him week 17, 18, and beyond. Yeah. And can you get there? And then, again, the other part of that to me is what is the best version of Joe Mixon? And I just personally think we've seen flashes of it. Him catching little slants from the slot, when the Nico on the other side or an overload formation the other direction gets all the attention. He's a natural catcher of the football, and you get him in that second and third level, as physical as he is, he causes problems. And I think they, again, to get the best version of Joe Mixon, they can win. Look, they, be honest with you, if Joe can stay healthy, they can win 9 or 10 games again with Damian Pierce being, you know, saving all his bullets for the last game of the year when Joe Mixon can't go, or when, if Joe Mixon gets hurt, that's fine.
Special team.
I mean, yeah, whatever. And they can win 9 or 10 games. But if you want the best version of the Texans, I think there's a they got to find somebody to help Joe Mixon in the damn
room. I do, yeah, and he is like, he's so good late when he wears on people and late, and you don't want to hit him in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Like that's the other part is, but if you could have somebody else helping.
Yeah.
You know, with that.
Well, no, and that, like that, the goal is to get him there as healthy as he can be, right? To get him there and get him there for 17, 18 weeks. And you still have that guy. I like the thought of the creativity of moving the running back around in formations. I think they need to do that, getting touches that way. So I just think there's a serious jump that I think Nick Caley can make just from the creative, efficient, way in which they use Joe Mixon, especially if you're not going to get another back that it's more of a 1-2 punch and it becomes a big group.
All right, coming up as we continue, Tyler, this is going to be some really annoyed.
What'd I do?
And pissed people out here. Uh-oh. This next segment. Oh, PFF did their quarterback tears today. We'll let you know where CJ Stroud is, and I feel like it's going to be some verbal furniture moving with some of the Texans fans when they hear that. We'll do that coming up next.